All right, I want to read this one because I think there's actually two. This someone sent a message, but there's a different kind of building syndrome. He's talking about the supermarket prices going up already. So that building will make you sick by a different way. And then there's the gentleman who spoke earlier about using the sunshine to generate power and using the fresh air and so on. He says, thank you for the explanation. I understand that we have to take the area where the building is into context. And kudos to VOB for having this program. I do agree that maintenance is very key, and that is where we fall down. Another issue is that we build and move in the same day. In other words, we don't properly clean the building before we move into it. He says, it is true that we did that for our homes years ago, but even at present, but we also have to take into consideration the chemicals being used. He says, I'm an asthmatic, and I have been in and out of the asthma bay recently. I have a dehumidifier in my office, but at times it just doesn't work. And I think you would have addressed that earlier. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the things he's raising here is the whole idea is as soon as a building is finished, you just move in. What is the recommended standard where that is concerned?
But again, all these things are measurable. You know? Mm-hmm. The level of contaminants, all these mm-hmm. things, these are things that from a technical point of view, we can actually measure when it is safe to move into a building. Mm-hmm. Now, just because it is finished and the last coat of paint went on may not necessarily mean, because as you know, mm-hmm. a lot of paint, you probably have to give it time to and mm-hmm. ventilate it properly. And mm-hmm. so
a lot of paints are low VOCs, but then low VOCs, how low is low in comparison mm-hmm. to what's mm-hmm. Recommended for human occupancy? So mm-hmm. the building must be properly ventilated and prepared and in many different ways before occupancy.
Our standards cover mm-hmm. all these things.
All right, cool. All right, we go back to the telephone lines. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to your panel as well.
Good afternoon.
Okay, now I'm going to come to you all today from perspective of an education in architecture and working with the special projects unit in government. Now, I haven't worked in the architectural field for a while, so I will defer to the authorities on the panel right now if there are one or two things which I say which might not gel. Okay? Now, from experience, I will first and foremost say a lot of the problems we have in Barbados are political. A lot of the buildings which are built, and I'm going to say designed, but which are created in this country are not built or designed by architects. A lot of them are done by draftsmen. Okay? Now, one of the strengths, and also an architect is not just a person who comes up with a pretty design. An architect is trained in order to bring together a team of individuals in order to bring a solution to a problem. So therefore, you bring in the particular experts. Let's say you bring in the mechanical engineers, you bring in the landscape engineers, you bring in what's called a sound engineers. You bring together a whole team of people in order to address a particular problem. And in a lot of cases, because of limited funds or because of client direction, you have situations where people who end up designing something are not competent in what they're doing or are not fully appraised of what they're doing, or they're then... And they design something with a lot of very shortcomings, shortfalls, okay? Speaking with the Lewellyn's situation, for example, now, we have to take into account the fact that there, in that environment, there are businesses that are operating. There's a business, a particular business that operates in respect to the laundry that may be contributing to a lot of the effects of the area. And that is what one of the big problems we have in Barbados. Because we don't have strong zoning regulations, we have businesses that open all over the place and then affect other operations that happen downwind, residential operations. So then buildings that people become sick, and they might sometimes believe, well, it's because of the building I'm in, but really and truly they're being affected by something happening upwind from them. So now, this is, again, where I'm going to be a bit controversial, because I believe we need to have that other layer called the Office of Contractor General. And I say that because I want not just a person who is responsible for awarding contracts to build the building, but also in terms of looking at the contracts that are awarded for maintaining buildings and the, all that, that entire operation that has to come, that has to happen. The decision to build certain buildings has got to be removed from the political directorate and put in under one person or one ministry that has that authority to look at building all over Barbados. And then the relationships that those buildings, of the zoning that is required, the right now, anybody could call themselves a contractor.
Agreed.
Sir, I thought you said you were going to be controversial, sir.
we
our problem is that we agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree also that the problem is a political one to a large extent. I agree that we have not been using the experts, like the architects, for example, and the engineers as we need to. But this all stems from a lot of legislation that sets minimum standards for what we will accept for buildings to house our people.
Enforceable codes.
Right. Enforceable codes.
I missed this one sent this morning. This is from the past Minister of Transport and Works. And he says, this is Mr. Michael Ashley. He says, good day, sir. The Ministry of Transport and Works and the bill bringing the building code into law was laid in Parliament, but obviously it died with the dissolution of Parliament. There is a bill certified by the former Attorney General. That's the same bill laid in Parliament. So I guess if we can look, it's called the Building Standard Authority Bill and Regulations.
I know it. Mm-hmm. I could almost recite it for you. But I would like to. I would also like to make the point that the first building code was introduced in Barbados in 1983.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So that's when we were asking to have
this
building codes
implemented
in Barbados. 1983.
Mm-hmm.
So this bill the minister is talking about, I think, was what, last year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2000 and how much?
17.
Subtract. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
All through the Caribbean.
Enough.
Yeah. So, I mean, the perspective is clear.
Mm. So that goes back to the issue that the caller and you agree with in terms of the problem being political.
I was going to make the point, though. He mentioned the contractor general. The solution is, in the same code that the past minister referred to, there is provision for a building authority, a national building authority that will solve the problems that we want. This authority will have the power to, first of all,
non-political.
Before you design the building, they will ensure that the design, which Dev keeps talking about, is adequate for what you want to use the building. Mm-hmm. It is in keeping with modern standards.
Facilities.
Exactly. Then the building has to be built according to the plan that is approved. So they will actually check at different stages to make sure that you conform to what you say you will do. Mm-hmm. At the end, they will then do an inspection to make sure that it is safe to move in, that everything is at the right level to move in. Mm-hmm. And then you will get a certificate of occupation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in terms of the maintenance to maintain the MEP systems, there are two levels of maintenance. We always say maintenance, and one of the callers made it quite clear. There's the general cleaning and that kind of, that's the level of maintenance. Yeah. But there's a level of engineering maintenance, that, which is what we tend to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's even more important to make sure that the systems work. And the building authority can also have the ability on an ongoing basis to ensure that buildings continue to be habitable. So that on the one, if you talk about having a contractor general to make sure that the contracts are properly awarded and that everything happens above board, but what we are more concerned about a building authority that makes sure that the standards that you set for minimum levels of
minimum standards
for minimum standards for occupation are built in up front, and maintained all the way down the road. That is what we are really concerned about.
You know what I like about this program? We start knowing the solution before we started the program, which is really to have these standards, have them legislated, and have them enforced.
Because this combat throughout the program, all over the world, Corey. We are not reinventing. We are not inventing any fancy wheel. In next door countries, in big countries, in small countries, this problem has been solved decades ago.
But let me ask the foolish question: why not in Barbados?
We need a number of people to stand in Parliament and say aye.
That's all you need. Just some people to say aye. We got to step on some people's toes. Then that's the best way to get people to say aye.
Political powers.
But there's one other point I would like to make, though. If we can get a break to do it, I would like to say something controversial. Though that's just really last call of what controversial means. You see that problem we have in the South Coast, probably that is a very, very serious problem. But that can be a blessing in disguise for Barbados. If we take the opportunity to take a full review of our national management systems and practices for our national infrastructure. Mm-hmm. I always refer to one of the most impressive areas of technology is air travel. I don't know if you know this, right? But this is one of the safest things you can do is get on an airplane in this whole world. It is absolutely, it's very, very safe. And the reason it is safe is because of some major tragedies that they've had. Whenever they have had, and whenever they do have a major disaster, they find the root cause of that disaster, and they immediately take steps to make sure that that will never, ever happen again. That's the nature of air travel. They actually take pride in, whenever there's something goes wrong, or even if it is about to go wrong, they carry out full investigations, find the root causes, and take steps to make sure that. And as a result, the air travel industry is safe, profitable, reliable, dependable. I mean, it is an outstanding example of modern technology. This is what we need to do in terms of national infrastructure, our limited resources and revenues. So that if, because of the Suez Project, we look at it carefully and realize that we have fundamental problems, structural problems in the way we manage our systems. It applies to the pothole system. We said that we found that when we brought all of the experts in and we looked at potholes, you were there, Corey. It became clear we have the expertise, we have the resources, we have the knowledge. The money was not really the problem. The problem is the way the system is structured. And if these things can lead us to say, sit down. I noticed, for example, I want to throw a kudo, I don't do this often, but since the new Prime Minister took office, we have been, for example, at BAP, invited to be involved in this in the emergency solution of the South Coast Roads Project. And the approach that they have taken so far, we have been impressed. I have to tell you that.
Consultation.
We have been impressed with not only the consultation, the approach that they've taken to looking at the problem and the intended solution. And if they continue along that path, it will be difficult for us to criticize, which we like to do, I have to tell you.
But no, I always was a proponent of let the plumbers plumb. If you have something wrong, your tooth, you go to the dentist kind of thing. And I think that in Barbados, we don't necessarily do that, you know. We like to surround ourselves with, you know, friends and familiar faces, as opposed to say, here are the people that know what are going on. And we need to get them this on board and take their advice and go from there.
Let me close up by saying that we now live in a technological world, a seriously complicated world. It's very complex. Far more emphasis now need to be placed on engineering and technological considerations in the management of our national infrastructure. In the past, the political, sociological, and even economic considerations tended to predominate. So we did things because we built that South Coast Roads Project because it was the cheapest option. I mean, the truth is the driving force in everything that surrounds that was this was the cheapest way to do it. Now, we all know that you always pay for that and be a pain. If this whole experience leads Barbados to sit down and say, we will not do things like that anymore. If you have a technological, complex infrastructure system and you're putting these really complex things in place, even ordinary buildings now have air conditioning systems that is not, when people talk about it, they're thinking about the old time window unit kind of thing. These people are designing extremely computerized complex systems that need expertise to keep it working. Therefore, the management systems that run Barbados and that run our national infrastructure must be driven by technology. engineers must be involved. One of the complaints, and I remember you said like complaints, so you look for things to complain about. Mm-hmm. We are disappointed at BAP that if you look at our parliament, or the senior people in most of the big organizations, they're not engineers. There are very few engineers who are there as engineers. It is one thing to hire an engineer to design a project. It's a different thing to have an engineer in the conceptualization of that project. Mm-hmm. Because if you ask any architect or any engineer now to do any project, they will all tell you, yes, I can do it, because the truth is with technology, we can do anything. I mean, mm-hmm. that is literally true. Mm-hmm. If you came to me and said, I want you to build a building, and you tell me whatever specs you want, the truth is I can tell you, yes, we can do it. But what we want are engineers at the conceptual level that says, here, you can do anything, but this is the most sensible, efficient, cost-effective way of doing it.
At design.
And we need that at the design stage.
And there's a cost associated with design.
Exactly. Right.
And there's a cost associated with poor design.
There's a need for fundamental change in readiness. And at BAP, we are saying that there need to be more technology and more engineering expertise up front in terms of the management of our infrastructure.
When we've done programs like this, even in hurricane preparedness and so on, this is one of the messages I wanted to get out to the listeners, though. You front load your car so that at the end of the day, as you say, you live happily ever after, you actually end up saving. The last WhatsApp actually is coming here. I think this person doesn't understand. We could use this probably to educate. This is good afternoon to the panel. Where there's a cost attached, every time the engineer visits the site for inspection, so they're actually looking at cost again. One of the things this is not a plug for engineers, this is really a fact. When you come to architects, and we had a quantity surveyor here and so on, and all of these things actually save you in the long run. But I think we like a good deal.
Yeah.
We like to cut costs and cut some corners. That is our culture. Let's just get real with that. And I think one of the messages coming out of a program like this, even on the personal level, but more so on the national level, we need to do it right the first time.
Absolutely. And the reality is, the world is too complicated for simple, obvious solutions. Mm-hmm. Even talking here, even among engineers ourselves. I mean, the truth is, I'm an engineer. Mm-hmm. If I had to build a building, I'm going to go and find an architect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go and find an MEP, mm-hmm. mechanical person to do my air conditioning. Even though I understand it pretty well,
mm-hmm.
I understand the value of getting the real experts to give me guidance up front, because they know what is going to save me down the road.
And that's key, Trevor. The real experts, there are also a lot of pretenders out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we have to know who those people are, the go-to people. Yeah, one of my good friends, one of the top engineers here in Barbados, one of his greatest complaint also is that when he shows up on a job site, it's decisions already almost made and all of that. And when he appears on the scene, then the first thing is, your price too high. Can you what can you do with your price? You know, but just remember, design is key. We can throw hardware.
As a consumer, as a minister, how do I know the pretenders from the real deal?
Come to BAPE.
Oh, certified.
there are lists. You can phone the associations and find out.
And again, this is international standard. So,
I thought y'all mean certified pretenders, man. Y'all mean real pretenders, the contractor pretenders.
It's very difficult to be a certified pretender. If you're certified, then you typically will not be a pretender, because it is very, very stringent. There's the Washington Accord, where there's an international agreement on how we recognize engineers, for example. And the qualification is very, very specific. The everything you need to do to become an engineer, then there's an engineer registration board we have in Barbados that every individual applicant has to go through. So we make sure that when a person is actually certified as an engineer, he is an engineer. The problem is, in the absence of a legislated code, it is very difficult. It's a lot easier for uncertified persons to come and do things, because there's no law that says that it has to be done properly.
Right, that's right.
Okay. All right, so that's it. I think we now have come. I think we had the caller. He was on the line. He's probably gone. We could take one more call, producer. Let's take one more call. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Okay, get lucky.
I have two. Listen, I work association, right?
Mm-hmm.
With those sheets that you always speak about just now. You know, you should put on your government places and
yes, best
national housing. I lay down one night, I'm 75 years old. I lay down between when it was 26, 27 years old. I heard from England in the late use that those sheets was banned in England in 1943. Okay? So I asked myself the question, why it is the band do it in 1943 and they send them here to the Caribbean?
One of the examples why we are third world, sir. We have to think outside the box. We have to think globally. We have to set codes and standards in place and enforce them, and then we can approach those sort of questions. Why are we importing rubbish that's
absolutely
certified rubbish from other places? Exactly. We are third world.
You just reinforced what we were talking about, codes and standards.
I even have to question when I see food, when you go someplace, it says for export only.
Yeah.
Like, why is that? Why?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I do the same thing.
Right.
Well, we allow ourselves to fall into that trap by not setting our own standards and enforcing those standards.
All right, hopefully we can have some very healthy buildings coming out of this program and into the future. Let me take this opportunity to thank the production team, the one-man team of Dennis DJ Johnson, taking care of things technical and also being a producer for today. I have to thank Lieutenant Colonel Trevor Brown, the president, who would have actually organized the panel. Very good panel, sir. Very well done. You can put a pat there on the back. Mr. Peter Sandifer, the architect. So they're helping him with the pat. Mr. Peter Sandifer, the architect in the building. I want to thank you very much, too,
thank you,
sir.
For having me.
And the lone medical doctor in the room, Doctor Don.
Are you sure?
Certified Doctor Don Ali. Thank you very much for joining us. And very capable engineer, Devran Majoran. He is from IAQ Solutions. Thank you very much. And part-time doctor as well. I've been your host and moderator, Corey Lane. And of course, we're going to say a final thanks to you who would have made the program, those who call, those who message. And of course, the final thank you to Williams Industries Incorporated, who made this program possible. Thank you. And do enjoy the remainder of your Sunday afternoon.